This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Raising money to support an idea of communication for many years. Many years. Me, just about 50. That's crazy, right? Well, maybe it's not completely 50. Maybe it's only about 46. But it's a long time to say, look, you don't have to be listening to this. You can change the station, or you can not change the station. But some people are paying for it because it does cost some money. And we may have some cavils about the way that the money is dispensed, but it's up to you to keep this boat of ours bailed. It is a leaky, leaky boat. But I'm the man in the boat, and if you rub me the wrong way, well, nothing will happen. But if you rub us the right way here, and how do you rub us the right way? Well, you call and say, I would like to contribute to support this radio station because, after all, well, after all of the others, or compared to all of the others, or by the side of all of the others, it's the only one that doesn't consistently insult your intelligence. I mean, there are certain things on even WBAI that probably insult your intelligence. But most of the time we feel indebted to our listeners. And I can't believe I'm talking the way that the people who are describing the failed banking system were talking. We're really not sure that you support our current mode of broadcasting. Now, a lot of people are certain that you don't. I have some doubts about some of the things that aren't being done or that are being done on BAI, and I know, I'm sure, you are deeply in the understanding column on that one. There are some things here that, gives you an opportunity to listen to one of the other fine stations in the New York City area. But I don't think we were ever the kind of radio station that people would listen to every moment. Well, there are some people who claim that even the shows that they know are spurious, curious, make them furious. Even those shows are important because it helps to know what some people think they're thinking. And I can see that. But somehow we have survived in this era of repuggy, and we're here, and it's 2009, going on 10, and there are great things that we could do. There are great things that we have done. And were it not so, you would not be there listening. And I know probably before morning, there are things that are going to make you wish it was earlier so you could call your cousin and say, hey, listen to that radio station. There are some of you who I know are listening now who are outside of the New York City area, listening on the internet at WBAI.org. And because of that, well, you're in a different time zone. You could be. We get calls from California, New Mexico, lots of far-flung places, even outside of the continental, you know. And most of the people who call from far away sound like, you know, like they've been wandering in the desert and they finally come upon a pure spring to slake their thirst for community. Someone sent me a movie today that has to do with community. The name of it is The Collector of Bedford Street, I think. And it's about a guy who, he says, I'm slightly retarded. And developmentally, he had a very rough time. And he had, those diseases that leave your neural network in tatters. And people loved him, and he survived. And he's getting some kind of public assistance. And he's living on Bedford Street in Greenwich Village. Nice neighborhood. And he collects every day. He goes out with a cup and he collects money to help people with AIDS, to buy meals for the people who need Meals on Wheels. And he collects, over the course of a month, thousands of dollars. And he helps these people. And he lives more or less alone. He has someone in his family who kind of hates him, resents him, who takes care of him. And he does what he can. He goes out and he talks to people and he raises money and he smiles to people and talks to them and collects this money, none of which is for him, but it's for people who he feels are in worse shape than he is. And he becomes friendly with some of the street people, and he takes them home and lets them take a shower in his place. And, you know, desperate people are often somewhat less than grateful. They rip him off, they take his clothing, his money. They leave the water running in the shower and it breaks through the ceiling below into the lobby. And the people who live in this building with him say, we've got to do something about this. And they have a meeting. And they all know this guy. They've known him for years and years and years. He's always there with a smile. He watches to see that, you know, nothing untoward happens on the street. Feeds animals. Befriends homeless people, some of whom, of course, don't take advantage of him. But there are some who do. And the people in his building and in his block association think that they're going to try to do something about this. Now, it's not what you're thinking. They don't try to just get him out. But they try to convince him that there are some things he can't do because he can't protect himself. And he agrees not to feed anyone but his animals and to go on doing what he does. And his neighbors get together and find a way to support this guy and to take care of him so that when his sole surviving relative expires, he won't be left alone. And I didn't expect it. It wasn't, this movie was kind of laying in wait for me. I didn't know it was going to be so moving or have so much to do with taking care of, you know, our human companions. But in a very small way, it made me think of what happens here at WBAI. And I recommend that you try to see it sometime. I caught a glimpse of a news report. Maybe some of you can give me more information about it. But it said that they had, through the use of the new experiments that are beginning with stem cells, they had discovered a molecule that was, it interrupted the AIDS virus, and they had, in effect, cured someone from this disease. And thought that's another one of the string of murders that George Bush and his anti-science administration are guilty of. They kept research from happening that could have saved lives. And then you look at the papers and a swimmer is caught with a breathing device that they say is a bong in his mouth. And he is made to humiliate himself, to be abject and to apologize. Well, I guess, you know, if it was marijuana, it's another performance-enhancing drug. It's one of those things, you know, like the next day, the other performing-enhancing drug, steroids, was in the news. And they came down on baseball players who may have or may not have or may have been given or may have searched out and gotten steroids. different forms of steroids, expensive forms of steroids. And the media leapt on them with both heels, you know, really stamping all over these guys. They're much more polite to the hedge fund operators and the people who run the banks. Much more polite. But now they're beginning to say, well, you have to sell your hybrids and your airplanes. And oh yeah, you won't get a bonus this year for losing all that money. I mean, so we're in a predicament, as you probably know. At least that's what the papers tell us, that the credit crunch and the housing bubble and, you know, all of these economic devices are at fault. Well, let's see. I mean, I can't count above a trillion. I mean, it takes me a long, long time. I have to take off my shoes and count on my... I can't grasp that kind of money. But I know that there are trillions of dollars that are going to be pumped back into the pockets of the people who were responsible for pumping out your pockets. And it just, I'm like, coincidentally, it's like the strangest coincidence in the world. It's just about the amount that the war has cost, this Bush war. That's where the money went. If they're not going to be making Humvees, and they're not going to be selling SUVs, and people will be out of work, which will provide an opportunity to build the army, as it always does. So, as my friend Bob Bloom used to say, you see, the system works. It works. Money is transferred and doesn't go to you or me. But you do have some control of your assets now. You probably right now could call and pledge $25 without feeling it too badly. If you called 212-209-2950. If you call that number, I believe there are people who are going to be answering the telephone. Now, you can do that. You want to do that. You know, you want to support WBAI. Without WBAI, you'd be, I don't know, looking for whatever weirdness George Norrie has to offer you, or maybe you'd switch to, here, is Leonard Lopate on tonight at this hour?
Later.
It's a rebroadcast. Bill Propp is here. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Bob.
How are you?
Okay, thank you.
How are you managing in these desperate economic times?
Living low on the hog. What can I say?
I don't know. I really don't know. But if you've lost money, if New York has cost you money, look in your pocket. Take a couple bucks out and, if nothing else, stick them in an envelope and send them to WBAI at 120 Wall Street. I mean, the worst that can happen is that someone will steal it. But the best that can happen is that it'll get into the right hands. And it'll help to, buy a new pair of earphones when these wear out, or a new windscreen for a microphone, or maybe a CD that will contain a program that you'll be happy to hear. Give it a thought. We'll be here until 3:30 this morning, after which time Ibrahim Gonzalez, maybe Ahmed Ali, will come in within the moment. Bill and I will be here. We may be joined by very wonderful young woman who sings. And maybe we won't. But you'll be there, and chances are you'll be calling before the night is out at 212-209-2900, and we'll put you on the air without any interrogation prior to your arrival in the ether. I'm not going to say, what do you want to talk about? Once in a while we do that. Some people, we feel, abuse the privilege of the people's air. But, hey, we have someone pledged $75. Thank you very much. If we could get another $25 and make it an even 100, then we would have $100. 100 windscreens. More windscreens than we need. We might be able to change a light bulb or pay a little electric bill, or maybe even if there were a few more hundreds, not too many more, we might be able to rehire one of the people that's been laid off. Now that would be really good. To subscribe to WBAI, easy. You call and you say, I would like to subscribe. And person who answers the phone, and there seem to be quite a few people back there answering phones, because I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines that are open. There's someone on 5 lines. I don't know whether the phones are knocked off the hook in the other room or what it is, but there are 5 telephone lines in use. If anyone is listening in the other room, maybe they can let us know whether those are people who are calling to pledge their support to WBAI, or maybe they're people who are calling to say, what is that station that we're listening to? And why is that station? Well, I can tell you what, and I can tell you why. It's the why is because some people thought it would be a good idea if there were some alternatives to the commercial stations that, for the most part, were as sold out as Congress. And fish and struggled on the air in Berkeley, California. Branched out to a couple of other places. We have the station in New York, which was a gift to the foundation. And wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for a very eccentric multimillionaire who this was, in the days when FM radio was very, very unpopulated. There were no FM stations. Well, there were a few FM stations, but there were very, very few FM receivers. But this very rich guy, who was very rich because he held patents on something that was essential in the manufacture of tampons, something called wet strength paper. And he had a lot of money. And he had a hi-fi radio, but nothing to listen to on it. So he built a station, got it on the air. Or maybe, no, I think the station was on the air and he bought it. But, I mean, he was an eccentric guy. His wife, who was a theatrical producer named Lucille Lortel, she produced the Threepenny Opera in the United States. And she ran the Theatre de Lice. And she said, I need someone to drive me to the theater. I need someone to drive me to my appointment with my doctor. And I can never get a taxi. So he bought a taxi cab. And he found a taxi driver that had the same name as him. Lou Schweitzer. And he said, Lou Schweitzer, the cab driver, if you drive my wife, Lucille Lortel, the theatrical producer, wherever she wants to go, the rest of the time, the cab is yours and you can keep whatever you make. Pretty good deal. Especially since the cab that he bought was a Mercedes. But he was that kind of a guy. He had a lot of money. And some people with a lot of money know how to spend it. He could never get a haircut appointment when he wanted one. So he bought a barber shop. He also found a barber named Lou Schweitzer who would cut his hair whenever he wanted. Give him a shave sometimes. And he built this radio station, and he loved it. And then there was a newspaper strike in the city. And suddenly, this station, which was in the center of the commercial band, had more commercials than he could stand to listen to. There were no more newspaper ads because the newspapers were on strike. And when people wanted to sell their stuff, they looked around. The advertising agency bought blocks of time on radio stations, including this little WBAI. And he couldn't stand to listen to it. So he had run some programs of the Pacifica Foundation. Remember them? They're the people that started the listener-sponsored stations in California. He called them up and said, how would you guys like to have a station in New York City? Well, naturally, they hung up on him. Crank, they said. Who is that guy? He called them back. He had to call them back a number of times before he could convince them that he was for real. And he convinced them, and they came, and they organized the station according to their principles. And New York City has been suffering with it ever since. The radio station that has innovated things we've done things on this station that you can probably even remember that were not like anything you'd ever heard in a good way. And we need to continue doing that. And you need to have us here. So I ask you to call that number that I gave you before, 212-209-2950, and pledge $25. Well, you know, you can pledge more than $25. You ask whoever answers the phone, what premiums do you have if I want to give you 100? And they'll say, well, we have these videotapes, we have these T-shirts, we have these sweatshirts, we have these drinking mugs, we have these books, all of these little lagniappes, but they're really, somehow they enhance the experience. I have a couple of things that I'm going to offer to you as premiums. A copy of a DVD of a movie called Chicago 10, which is the story of the trial that took place in Chicago after the Chicago police rioted in 1968, and the trial of people like Abbie Hoffman, Dave Dellinger, Jerry Rubin, John Froines, Tom Hayden, and Bobby Seale.
And Lee Weiner.
And Lee Weiner, right. The reason that it's called Chicago 10 is because the people who were convicted of this riot that was caused by the police, these people were, they were found not guilty, but they were convicted of contempt of a very contemptible court. And their lawyers were also convicted, Dave Dellinger William Kunstler.
He got the most of all.
Dave Dellinger got the most of all. William Kunstler.
But the lawyers did.
William Kunstler and Len Wineglass, along with Abbie Hoffman, Jerry Rubin. They were all convicted in this circus of a trial. Later, the higher courts reversed all of the convictions, and everyone was freed, pardoned, and I believe that the district attorney and various of the perjured police witnesses did go to jail. Anyway, that movie was very well reviewed, and a lot of the movie was made from tapes that were of my program, where Abbie Hoffman used to call every night from the trial, after the trial, describing what had happened during the day in his inimitable fashion. And I loved Abbie, and when he called, it was very hard for me to stand the fact that I knew he was going to be convicted in this trumped up, tricked up trial. And we sort of laughed and had a pretty good time talking, but every time he called, I felt like he was getting in deeper and deeper. And I'm a character in the movie, in cartoon form. And actually, there are even a couple of scenes where you can see my real hand. One of them, I'm holding the camera that the junkies stole from me a couple of years later. And in another, I'm an off-mic voice calling Terry Southern on the phone. Abby's talking to me. But it's a pretty good movie, and we'll give you that as a premium if you call and you pledge your support to WBAI for $75. You get a copy of that movie, Chicago 10. And we'll be here. If you want to talk on the air, the number here is
all you really doubt. You even got kicked out of town. Well, I've got three words, they're gonna cheer you up. I got three words, they're gonna cheer you up. I got three words, they're gonna cheer you up. Here come three words, they're gonna cheer you up. Former President Bush, former President Bush, you can kiss my tush. Yeah, you're former President Bush. Former Vice President Dick, former Vice President Dick, you are such a dick. Former Vice President Dick. Former First Lady Laura, former First Lady Laura. Well, some Democrats said, you know, she's not so bad. She's sort of the mother of our country. Yeah. She went to AIDS hospitals and kissed AIDS babies. It was all just a photo op anyway. Show me one kid who started to read because of you. I don't think so. And even if you're cool, you're married to one of the biggest fascist pigs of my lifetime who brought my country down to its knees. But pretty soon, former First Lady Laura.
Hi, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello, you're on the radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I enjoy your, was it oratory a few moments ago about a millionaire? And sometimes I feel like him. If I had the money, I would have done the same. You know, people around us, some have and some have not. And those who have tend to sit on what they have and don't you do anything of substance with it. You know, if some of these millionaires, some of these rich people, you don't have to be a millionaire necessarily, these rich people can just come out and give a helping hand, you know, it would be a better world. And people like that man, there are very few around.
You mean like Lou Schweitzer?
Yes.
Well, he has gone to that great paper factory in the sky. He's no longer with us.
You see, very few people like him is around at this time.
Well, you know, there are people like the cyber millionaires. Some of them have been very constructive.
In their pockets.
Yeah. I mean, I think we should glory in the good people rather than suffer so much with these terrible
ailments. I would like to say thank you to WBAI.
Thank you.
I received my package from last September. It came today. The CD on the World Trade Center. And it's very interesting. I love it. I don't know if this station, when you get back to your regular program.
I think, I don't know whether there's a date or an amount that will take us back. I hope it's an amount, but... you know, I mean, in some ways, the marathons are WBAI at its best, you know, because why aren't people calling? 2, 5, 6 lines are being used back in the tally room, and yet the tally is not increasing.
I would like to suggest to the people that
making, are people making, ooh, wait a minute, we have some news here. Excuse me for interrupting this conversation, but police. Well, it happened at 4:20 p.m. New York State police say that a 50-passenger commuter plane has crashed into a home in Buffalo, USA. The aircraft has been confirmed as Continental Flight 3407, operated by Colgan Air from Newark to Buffalo. The 50-passenger commuter plane crashed into a home, and it's believed that there has been at least one fatality on the ground. The Federal Aviation Authority says that 48 passengers were on board the aircraft and that 12 nearby homes have been evacuated. And there have been reports of multiple fatalities, but no official toll has been released yet. State Trooper John Manti said that the plane hit a house in Clarence around 10:20 p.m. local time. So it wasn't at 4:20 this afternoon. A witness told CNN that he heard a buzzing noise followed by a large explosion, and it didn't sound right, and I couldn't tell if it was a problem with the engine, he said. But I knew something was wrong. No more than 2 seconds later, there was a large explosion, and the foundations of the house shook, and the house was engulfed in flames. Some people on the ground near the crash site were taken to the hospital with minor injuries. And CNN has reported that the plane was running at least 2 hours behind schedule.
It was behind schedule because of the weather.
Yeah.
So sad.
Well,
a friend and I had a laugh today about the two satellites that crashed into each other. Out of space.
Yeah.
They need some traffic lights up there. How funny it is.
Well, that's the kind of thing that could have been avoided. I mean, those satellites are maneuverable to a certain extent, and the people on the ground knew that it was going to happen, and they could have performed some maneuvers to avoid the collision.
My friend suggested...
Maybe it was some kind of a test.
No, it wasn't. My friend was suggesting that it could have been the former regime that we had to cause some sensitive information that they didn't want Obama to get his hands on.
When it was up in the air? The
yes.
Information was in the air?
In satellite. And it was up there, and they didn't want him to get into the mix. So they just took it out. Which is a far-fetched idea, but it's possible. I must thank you again.
Well, you're welcome. They say that there were no survivors to this crash. So, not to the... Oh, this is not funny. You're laughing about the satellite.
Yes.
But I'm talking about the crash.
Oh, my God.
In Buffalo.
Yet 48 people.
Yeah.
Wow. God is in charge. And all is well. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Keep the good work up, man.
Thank you very much for staying there and listening to us.
I'm here all the time.
All right, let's change America, man. If you're feeling bad, yeah, you're feeling sad. All you really doubt, you even got kicked out of town. Well, I got three words, they're gonna cheer you up. I got three words, they're gonna cheer you up. I got three words, they're gonna cheer you up. Here come three words, they're gonna cheer you up. Former President Bush, former President Bush, you can kiss my tush. Yeah, you're former President Bush. Former Vice President Dick, former Vice President Dick, you are such a dick. Former Vice President Dick, former First Lady Laura, former First Lady Laura. Well, some Democrats said, you know, she's not so bad. She's sort of the mother of our country. Yeah, she went to AIDS hospitals and kissed AIDS babies. It was all just a photo op anyway. Show me one kid who started to read because of you. I don't think so. And even if you're cool, you're married to one of the biggest fascist pigs of my lifetime who brought my country down to its knees. But pretty soon, former First Lady Laura. So if you're feeling bad, yeah, you're feeling sad, everything's gone wrong, well, all you gotta do is sing this song. Former President Bush, former President Bush, you can kiss my tush. Yeah, you're former President Bush. Former President Bush.
That's right.
Former President Bush, you can kiss my tush. Yeah, you're former President Bush.
All right.
Former President Bush.
I can't hear you.
Former President Bush.
In the balcony.
You can kiss my tush. Yeah, former President Bush.
One of the entertaining pertinences of this radio station is something called the Listener's Forum, the Good Light Board. And there was a very interesting series of blogs on this board on the subject of what is called music. Who is responsible for rock and roll? Well, according to one interpretation, the word rock was first used to describe music around the city of New Orleans. There was a place called Congo Square, where the enslaved Africans were allowed to gather one night a week and to dance and to drum and make their music. And someone wrote that the entire city rocked as a result of it. But this discussion was between one particular guy who was, I guess he was a black chauvinist, who claimed that all of it, came from Africans. All of this music came from Africans. That it was black music and that white people shouldn't be doing it, or Chinese people, or any other people but authentic Africans. And that's a little hard to take if you know anything about the history of the music, because, for instance, Chuck Berry, who was very you know, almost universally acclaimed as the guy who invented this kind of music, said, well, what I did was I stole from Bob Wills. And Bob Wills was a white Texas musician. Bob Wills, I think Willie Nelson has a song called Bob Wills is Still the King. And it's all, music doesn't really, I mean, music belongs to whoever hears it. It's one of those things that gets changed as it goes into your ears from the experience of the musician into your own experience. So, I mean, while you tip your hat and you give your homage to people who contributed to the music or who contributed, invented different riffs and kinds of musical experience, it really, you know, it belongs to everybody.
Respecting the origins. Let's not forget. Yo, this music originates in African landscapes, not broadcast on mixtapes. I got a privilege to be a part of this culture. I respect this. This is black music. Hey, yo, I'm a guest at best, blessed to express stress over beats with finesse. You see, now Elvis was a tragic star who fell so far from what music meant, bent by his management. Crossover sex appeal. Let's get real, rock and roll. With a code for soul. To be R&B played on white radio. It's not just long hair and guitars that came later. The British invader. Singing the blues without paying the dues. This country is infused with African philosophy. This music is African property. It should be respected properly. The transcendental state of blackness. I want to have this. But to think it's mine is madness. To bear the bounce but not the burden. All I can possess is the presence of mind. To not be blind and look beyond the curtain. What's on the stage, unfair wage and prison cage, racist policy, human mockery, a militant monopoly that absorbs culture into a commodity. So white kids, let's not make the same mistake. Musical rape, respect, build trust in order to integrate. No one privileges power unchecked at the gate. Hey yo, I felt alone in a world that is cold and found peace and strength in stories told. Hip-hop molds my flow, language and soul, so to this I owe humility. Yeah, I'm nice on the mic. And my spirit would recite poetic transmissions whether black or white. These words were given form and function through African diction and tradition. As I find my way with this contradiction, should I hang up the mic and seek somewhere else? But I know hip-hop like I know myself. I remember coming up pumping X-Clan. Like I can't be a white man, used to get love from my black fan. It was like I wanted to change who I was. Be measured by the thickness of my blood and the depth of my love. I always stepped with sincerity. I got love from the crowd staring at me. It was a spiritual call in the path I could not refuse. This path I had to choose it. But let's not forget, this is black music. This is black music. This is black music. This is black music.
Apologize to Baba Israel. That record, record of his was a little distorted. Baba plays the didgeridoo, and he does freestyle, and we're all Africans, you know. Thank you.
college brown, he lived on the outside of town. College brown, he lived on the outside of town. Oh, with his wife and five children, and his cabin broken down. He looked for work on Monday, and he walked a ragged mile. Oh, he looked for work on Monday, and he walked a ragged mile. Oh, your children are so hungry that they don't know how to smile. Your baby's eyes look crazy now, just tugging at your sleeve. Your baby's eyes look crazy now, just tugging at your sleeve. Oh, you walk the floor and wonder why, with every breath you breathe. Pray to the Lord above, oh, please send you a friend. He prayed to the Lord above, oh, please send you a friend. Oh, your empty pockets tell you that you ain't got no friend. Your brain. Your babies are crying louder now. It's a pounding on your brain. Whoa, your wife's screams are stabbing you like the dirty driving rain. Your grass is turning black now. There's no water in your well. Your grass is turning black now. There's no water in your well. Oh, you spent your last long dollar on 7 shotgun shells. Way out in the wilderness, cold coyote calls. Way out in the wilderness, cold coyote call. Oh, your eyes fixed on the shotgun that's a hanging on the wall. Your brain is a bleeding and your legs can't seem to stand. Your brain is a bleeding and your legs can't seem to stand. Your eyes fixed on a shotgun that you're holding in your hand. There's 7 breezes blowing all around the cabin door. There's 7 breezes blowing all around the cabin door. 7 shots rang out like the ocean's pounding roar. There's 7 people dead now on a South Dakota farm. There's 7 people dead on this South Dakota farm. Somewhere in the distance, there's 7 new people born.
flat, broken, busted. It just don't seem fair. The man in heaven don't hear my prayer. And these dice are loaded, but I still can't win. Flat, broken, busted. Crap's out again. Maybe tomorrow I'll see the light, and I'll know the difference between wrong and right. My ship is out there, but it can't come in. Flat broke and busted, crapped out again. And I'm hanging on tight to the end of my rope. Somebody call me a preacher. Yeah, well, let's call a pope. Just a flip of a coin, a turn of a car. On top, y'all, yeah, I'm gonna be living out again.
Cotton is down to a quarter of a pound, but I'm busted. I got a cow that went by and a hen that won't lay. A big stack of bills that gets bigger each day. The county's gonna haul my belongings away, 'cause I'm busted.
Speaking of being busted, this is WBAI in New York City, listener-supported radio. We're also broadcasting on KWMD in Kisilov, Alaska, CJLY in Nelson, British Columbia, and in less than half an hour we'll be joined by WJFF in Jeffersonville, Grahamsville, and Liberty, New York. But for the moment, we're those stations and the World Wide Web. So if you want to support our activities, the thing to do is to call 212-209-2900. We'll be happy to take your support. $25 is the basic annual subscription fee. And that enables you to vote in our elections. So why don't you call that number, 209-2950.
I'm broke. No bread. I mean, like nothing.
Ice cream. It's like it embodies so much in this country. Ice cream. You know what good guys Ben and Jerry's were. I don't know who they still are, but we have, there are some people, you know, people who have been supported by Ben. They have been the millionaires that helped people, Ben and Jerry's. And they changed the names of some of their flavors to conform with current events. For instance, to honor Barack Obama, they have something called Yes Pecan. And for George Bush, they created Abu Grape. Cluster Fudge. Nothing Accomplished. Iraqi Road. Chalk and Awe. Caramel Preemptive Strike. Oh, and here's one that we all can share in. Wire Tapioca. Guantanamo. And this one is my favorite. Impeachment. Heck of a Job Brownie. Neocon Politican. Neocon Politan. Rocky Road to Fascism. Chunky Monkey in Chief. Cookie Dough. Housing Crunch. Nuggler Proliferation. WM Delicious. Country Pumpkin. And George Bush Doesn't Care About Dark Chocolate. The Impeach Cobbler. The Bloody Sunday. And Waterboard Melon. And the number one bestseller, Vanilla Whatever. Those are the ice creams that have been inspired by George Bush. Do we have a telephone call at 212-209-2900? No? Well, then we won't put a call on the air. Do we have a call at 209-2950? No? Well, then we'll go back and we'll put the guy who chants and pretends to be an Amerindian on the air. That's probably him now. Right. No, it's the guy who pretends to be a dial tone. You're on the air. There he is. Oh, sounded like a different guy. You're on the air.
Yo, Bob.
Yes.
Hey, listen, I have a few thoughts.
Monroe. You said it, I didn't.
Well, I'm glad that you aren't giving me a hard time, Bob. Listen. A couple of things.
Who says I'm not? Come on, let me give you a hard time.
No, you don't want to give me a hard time. I'm
sure I do.
That's the only reason I call in. It's for the station.
Well,
I care about keeping it. I can always listen to Joey Reynolds. I do two radios. I listen to him. He's a wonderful guy.
Why don't you call him up?
Well, I did try, actually. But the point is that I like the concept of WBAI, and I'm trying to keep it going, you know. So here's the story. a couple of thoughts. I was very touched by that story that you said about the film that you saw.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. I thought that they would try to run him out of the building. And I don't want to give the punchline, you might say, away, but the way the story went that you said, it made me feel good.
Well,
okay, that's
it has an even better ending, Monroe. I didn't tell you about the wonderful ending where Larry finds love.
Oh, even better than, I have to see it. Yeah. What was the name of it, please?
The name of it was The Collector of Bedford Street.
Oh, okay, good. And could you say whereabouts it's playing?
No, I can't. You probably have to go to your special DVD store.
Oh, I see. Okay. So here's the rest of the story. I noticed that Sirius, how it's...
They're
going,
in trouble, yeah.
Yeah, now here's the story. Bob, I want you to be a big success, but I want a little of the action, from...
The vigorish.
From the fame that you'll get. You know that Gary Bird was invited over to WBAI, I guess by Bernard White, to continue his fine work, and he's really improved. I like the man very much. Now, the point of the story is I'd like it if you invited Howard Stern. He's got only 20 million listeners. I would like it if you would offer him a chance to be on WBAI. Because, he believes in freedom.
No, I'm not the program director.
No, but you could invite him. You could start off, he'd come in like the musicians come in. And, the man was up in the sky. He was flying through the cosmos with his work. And I didn't even buy one of the radios. But he has 20 million listeners, they claim. Now, the point is,
he was laid off.
Yeah, but now
from
Sirius. Laid off. He's a free agent. But here's the rest of the story. The rest of the story is that there was a guy on WBAI, and he said if everybody who listens to WBAI gave only $1, and there were a million of these people, men and women, young people, old people, who gave $1, that the station would have $1 million. It makes sense. $1 for a million people is equal
It makes 100 cents, Monroe. I tell you what. Let's see what Monroe, let's see what happens to that suggestion. That suggestion I made earlier, that instead of going to the trouble of calling 212-209, 2950 and pledging your support to one of the people who were on the telephone back there. You put a single dollar in an envelope.
Yeah, with a 42-cent stamp and labeled WBAI, 120 Wall Street.
Right.
Care of, who would it be care of? Andrea, the lady.
You mean who would we trust, Monroe?
Well, what's her name?
Monroe, how about care of Monroe?
No.
Care of Monroe. They'll hold the mail for you, Monroe, then you can give you can open all those letters, and you can give the money out just like.
Well, I wouldn't give it out.
Give it to WBAI just like.
And we'd account for it,
just like Joe Gould did.
Or Schweitzer, Louis Schweitzer,
Or Joe Gould.
Well, who is Joe Gould? I'm not clear on him.
Well, Google him, Monroe.
Google? Oh, I will.
Okay.
But, I also recommended that we deal with Google because that's really an information operation.
Only one recommendation per telephone call. We have somebody who's trying very hard to get his chance on the air.
All right, listen, I'll get off, Bob. I
appreciate your attempt to support us.
I'm concerned about Tony D. I mean, have you heard from her recently?
From who?
I really worry about her. And
did you cut him off?
Sorry.
Oh, Bill, how could you do that? He's a 49-year listener to WBAI and a supporter. And you cut him off just like that.
My hand fell, actually.
Your hand, Bill. Give me that hand. Okay. Oh. Now give me your other hand. Ow. Now give me your other hand, you monster.
What do you mean by that? It was an accident, actually. It really was.
You're on the radio. Hello?
Yeah, Bob?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, it's about time you turn that goddamn guy off. Because it's pathetic, man. He is pathetic. I mean, listen, I always call into your show. I can never get through to you. And now this
but
is
you
the first
didn't.
Time.
You did now, and you're wasting your time talking about somebody who was on just before and who you say that you couldn't stand. Why don't you talk about what you want to talk about?
Well, listen, Bob, what I want to talk about, right?
What's that echo?
Let me turn my radio on. Check this out. Listen, there ain't no echo now, right?
No, less echo now, yeah.
Okay, listen, right? I mean, with Monroe, it's really pathetic. Just listen to this guy, man. I mean, every time I turn on the radio unnameable, what I wanted to know, how did you name it radio unnameable?
What, are you serious?
Yeah, I want to know how did you name it that?
Well, I'll tell you.
No, please.
Let's see. I said on the air, I'm going to do a show, and I don't know what to call it. How about suggestions from the audience? It's not going to be a jazz show. It's not going to be a folk show. It's not going to be a talk show.
Right.
Dude, I don't want it to be categorized. Give me a name that doesn't stick me in a corner. There were some good suggestions. One or two of them are being used quite coincidentally for other shows on WBAI right now.
And by the way, Bob, this is Starkey Watson. This is the one last week who pledged $25 to your show.
Thank you very much.
Okay, no, listen, you ain't gotta thank me, man. I appreciate listening to you, man.
Thank you very much.
You got a hell of a sense of humor, right?
Thank you very much.
You do. You got a hell of a sense of humor, man. It really cracks me up sometimes.
But
you know?
Don't you want to hear the rest of the story?
You go ahead. Tell me the rest of the story.
Okay, the rest of the story, as Monroe likes to say, was that people did send suggestions in. And one of them was the unnameable. And I said, that looks like it. That one is it. And especially because I was reading this strange book by Samuel Beckett called...
Samuel Beckett. I know Samuel Beckett, yeah.
Called The Unnameable.
The Unnameable.
Yeah.
He said, the unnameable.
Yeah.
Okay, I really wanted to know that, man. That was really had my curiosity going.
Well, that's how it happened.
Yeah. Okay, listen, you should get my check in the mail. I made out a money order to you guys, okay?
All right, thank you.
But they didn't send me no card. You know, like the card they were supposed to send you. They sent me a card. For membership card? How come I never got one?
Well, I'm sorry. I don't know why. I don't know who's in charge of that or who's supposed to be in charge of that. But
Bob, you've been here forever. You know everything.
No.
There's so much
I don't know.
Between you and Bernard, you hold the station together.
Oh, yeah? Well,
yes, sir. Between you and Bernard... Bernard White, you are the most fascinating people I've ever talked to. I met Bernard before. I never met you, you know. But I'm gonna meet you one day. Meet you one day this summer when you have one of the pictures like you had. I'm coming down to see you, man.
Well, what's your name?
Starkey Watson.
Starkey?
Yep, Starkey.
What do you do in real life, Starkey?
What do I do in real life?
Yeah.
I'm retired, man.
Oh, well, that's an occupation in itself.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I used to be an offset printer.
Oh. printer.
Yeah. Printing, you know, printing like newspapers and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Offset.
Yeah, offset printing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's no, you know, not nowadays, man, you know, the industry is going down the hill.
Oh, it's gone. It's finished.
Yeah, right, man.
My uncle started something called Sterling Offset at one time.
Yes. So you should know about the business then.
I don't know about the business, but I know that he used to have these enormous presses.
Yeah,
and then they
were 1250 Multilift, right?
Dangerous presses, they looked like, you know.
Yeah, 1250 Multilift.
Yeah, and then now it's like everybody's got a little printer on their shelf.
Bob, you're something else, man.
Yeah, well, you keep listening, Starkey.
I will, man. And I listen, believe me, man. You always got me, man, on your pledge drive, man, believe me.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, kid.
You stick with it. Hey.
Yeah.
Bill,
with it.
You want to?
Yeah, hello, Starkey.
Yeah.
Are you just one thing before you go. You asked about not receiving some kind of a membership card. Well,
yeah,
let me try to put your mind at ease if I can. Like some time ago, it actually used to be a WBAI card, good for discounts all over the city, various goods and services. I don't think that is the case now, although it might be nice to revive that. But they don't really mail out. I don't think there is actually an official membership card. But when it comes around to voting for representatives or running, for that matter, to be a delegate on the board, you should be getting a ballot to either vote or run. And if you get another bill asking for money, then you can be sure you're on the list. And I would hold on to some record that you did contribute. That way, just in case you don't get a chance to vote, you can submit that. And you're a member. You're a member in my mind anyway.
I will.
Okay.
I will. Believe me. Okay, that's what I'm doing. I'll hold on to the letter.
Yeah, that's good.
Hold on to the letter, right?
Yeah. That's good.
Okay.
I hope you will.
Okay. Thanks a lot, man.
Sure.
Thank you.
See you guys later, okay? Good, Bob. Later, man.
Later. Bye. Hello, you're on the radio.
Morning, Bob.
Good morning.
This is Bonnie from Harlem.
Bonnie, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Bonnie.
I might have a little bit of information about the HIV stem cell.
Yeah.
The thing that you were talking about before.
Yes.
I also heard that there had been a reversal in someone's illness by the, I don't know what method they gave this particular stem cell to this sufferer, but I did hear that had happened, and it reminded me of something I had heard some years ago that connected a genetic mutation that let some people survive the bubonic plague in Europe, and they were able to trace this through records of people living in villages in England, because of course, you know, you have your churchyards and they've got records of the deaths
right.
on it. Apparently there's a similar behavior of the two diseases in the effect on the blood cells, on the T cells, on the erosion of the protein coat. Now forgive me for any fuzzy details here, but during the
what kind of work do you do, Bonnie?
I'm retired now.
You're not a scientist.
No, but I'm very interested in this kind of thing. And when I saw this show, they were talking about the erosion that the way in which the bacteria that is bubonic plague and the virus, which is HIV. Does the same kind of mechanisms to the blood cells, and is part of how the disease proliferates and then ultimately kills the sufferer. And during the bubonic plague era, there would be people, particularly in England, but it could have been throughout Europe, but particularly in the British Isles, who either would not get sick at all,
right,
or would get sick and recover.
Right.
Or would get sick and die. And they seem to, there seemed to be a mutant gene that if you inherited from two parents the mutant gene, then you would have an immunity. If you had got from only one parent, then it would seem that you had a partial resistance to it.
Speaking of partial resistance, we have been joined by WJFF in Grahamsville and in Liberty and in probably the coldest part of New York State at the moment.
Yes.
So Grahamsville, Liberty, and what's the other town?
Jeffersonville.
Jeffersonville. That's why they call it JFF. And we're also being broadcast on KWMD and in Kusilov, Alaska, and CJLY in Nelson, British Columbia, and, well, this is WBAI in New York, and we're streaming at WBAI.org on the World Wide Web. Bonnie, I'm sorry I had to interrupt you for that little bit of
That's perfectly
business.
Fine.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, to get to the chase of it, at the time they were discussing the fact that they had noticed a similarity in this gene, and that there were men in the, particularly in the gay community, but it could have been discovered in others, who would be diagnosed with HIV, and then after a period of time would have no evidence of the disease or anything, as if their bodies had overcome it. And certainly partners of people who had died, who survived without any problem. And they discovered that they had the same gene.
Well, you know, that it's wonderful if they're able to knock this this terrible scourge dead. But this research was not permitted under the previous president. He's responsible for the death of many people. He really should be made to come to some sort of accounting for that.
Well, if he weren't so supported by a lot of like-minded people, you know, who have done everything they can to fight this, this kind of research. I don't think that the stem cells that were used in this most recent case came from embryonic cells, but rather from an adult cell of someone who they knew had this gene mutation that makes you not only resistant to bubonic plague.
Well, let's see what else we can find out about it. You know, there are probably people who can go to some sort of a medical library online.
And, well, that's probably true. The story that I'm recounting about the bubonic plague thing was on television, I would say, in the last maybe 4 years ago. And at that point, they were talking about, trying to research this further. And I believe that there is a connection between that research that was started. It was primarily cancer research that this doctor was doing, and he branched into some other things. And I believe that this may be connected. So it shouldn't be too hard to find.
All right,
if you want to use that as a board.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything.
Well, thank you. Thank you for everything. I'm not responsible for everything.
No, but I love your show, so thank you for everything you do.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care.
You too. You're on the air.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the radio.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Okay. How are you? How are you doing?
Good. Thank you. I'm actually calling about something that has been bothering me for a while now. I actually live in uptown Manhattan, and I used to work a while ago with the press. Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I used to work a while ago with Fred here, the prince in the Washington Heights area. And the editor that I used to work with, he suddenly started a new campaign because he wants to post a council member for District 7. His postulation just came out about Saturday or so, and I was so bothered by that because this guy, he calls himself like a leader of Washington area, and he's gonna try to eradicate corruption and like landlords overcharging the tenants and so on. So meanwhile, this guy, he's a really corrupt person. I know for a fact, including myself, that he has, hello?
I'm here. What does he have for a fact that you know?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I thought I lost you. But I know for a fact that he has owed money to the people that has hired for his printed press that he had years ago. I know he owed me like $3,000 or so, and I know he was also it's just amazing to think about that this guy is running for a council member for the Democratic.
These are charges that you're making that the guy doesn't have a chance to respond to. I don't think it's right or fair to let you go on doing it. No offense meant to you, but
I completely understand, but. I don't know. It was something that I was bothered by it just recently. I saw his poster walking towards my house, and I was like,
I'm not going to let you go on.
I'm sorry?
I'm not going to let you go on.
I'm on sorry. The radio?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Bye. You're on the radio. You are on the radio.
Yeah, hi, Bob.
Hello, good morning.
This is David in Inwood.
Hi, David.
How are you doing tonight?
Okay.
Good. I've never called you before, but I've listened a lot, and I really appreciate your show.
Thank you. That's really very gratifying. Thank you.
Well, you've enriched my life a lot, and BAI has too, and thanks to Monroe. I renewed my membership.
All right. Hear that, Monroe?
I love Monroe. Monroe, if you're listening, I love you too, man. I just got home from work. And
what kind of work do you do?
Well, I'm an art guard.
An art guard in a museum?
Yes, indeed.
Oh. Where? Which one?
You ever been to the Cloisters? I bet you have.
Sure.
Yeah, I work.
You prevent people from crapping up the tapestry.
Oh, yeah. But I work, I used to work days, and I used to work downtown at the Met, but I live up here, so I decided I can walk to work.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
You're surrounded by beauty.
Well, it's interesting.
And there's an art gallery there, too.
What's that?
You're surrounded by beauty, Bob said. And there's an art gallery there.
And there's an art gallery. Yeah. Yes, indeed, yeah. It's a fun place to work. I'm 62 years old, and I've been working for the Met for about 15 years. And, it's been a great education. But enough about me. I appreciate just hearing political views that I don't hear elsewhere. I lived in Germany for 10 years in the 70s, and it was a very interesting time to be there. And I studied art over there, too, and I saw the political atmosphere in Germany change during that decade. When I first went there, it was 1969, and we lived in the school, and the school had been taken over by the students. And 10 years later, there was a sign on the door that said 9 to 5 for the hour. So it changed a great deal. And I was in Stuttgart, where Baader-Meinhof group had threatened to blow up the city, and it was all a farce. I mean,
you know, there are people who are listening who have never heard of Baader-Meinhof.
I'm sure there are, yeah.
Why don't you sort of fill in the history of Baader-Meinhof?
Oh, you're going to put me on the spot, huh?
Well, I'm sorry, I don't mean to do that. But
No, I'm just joking.
They were, communists, anarchists, and they were a lot like the Yippies, only they had some violent elements. And they did things like kidnapping the premier, I think, at one time, didn't they?
I'm trying to remember the guy's name that they kidnapped and they executed him, unfortunately. And they found him in the trunk of a car.
And then they were arrested and tried. And they were held in very severe isolation. And,
right in Stuttgart, where I was.
And they were held in what they call the white prison with there was no relief from, they were like in a white room with a light on all the time, and there were no texture, no variety, nothing, and it made them even crazier than they were. And it's been so, who was the woman, Butter or Meinhof?
Ulrika Meinhof.
I saw a little squib in the paper about 5 years after she was put in prison, and it said that she had hanged herself.
It went
largely unnoticed.
She was hanged, and according to her father, she was suicided, he said.
Yeah.
They found semen in her underpants.
Oh.
When she was cut down.
I had never heard that, yeah. I don't remember which one, but one supposedly shot himself with a pistol, and those conditions you described, well, where in the hell would he get a pistol? So it was claimed that it was brought in by a lawyer who brought it in a book that was hollowed out, but they all died mysterious ways that way. But that prison was built, if I remember right, and I could be wrong, but that prison was built specifically to house them. And Sartre, the existentialist, came to Stuttgart to find out I'm losing my train of thought here. If these were political prisoners or if they were terrorists or whatever.
Well, they were quite clearly political, and they were terrorists as well.
We were about the same age group as these people, and
right.
We got stopped on roadblocks. And I can remember there were these young cops, and they had machine guns. And when I first went to Germany, the cops didn't have machine guns. It wouldn't have been tolerated, but the cops were polite there, and they were educated and very nice. But we were stopped in this roadblock on the Autobahn, and one of these kids dropped his machine gun, and I thought, oh, no, it fell to the ground, and I told my wife, just keep your hands up on the dashboard. So nothing happened, but
don't
it
try
was interesting.
Don't try to pick it up and give it back to him.
Well, at that's least right, one good yeah. thing, you can't be stopped for speeding on the Autobahn.
That's
right. Yeah. Right.
That well, was never a problem with me. I used to have beetles.
Well, bugs. I appreciate your calling. Thank you very much.
Well, I'll get off and let somebody
keep, talk. Keep listening, and if you have anything to tell us about the unicorn tapestry,
I'm not the expert. Someone else is.
I'd love to. I mean, the unicorn tapestry was the, I don't know, the news report of its day. You know, there was, it was like... will be new pictures at 11.
I'm not sure what you mean, Bob.
Well, it depicted moments that they wanted to, it was the news.
You know. So you mean it was, you feel that it was made to, spread news of events?
Well, the state's version of the news.
There's a lot of theories about, a lot of different theories about who made it. I've heard that it was made in a factory in Belgium by by many, many people.
Oh, well, I've heard that too.
Yeah.
But, Oh, you're the person I want to talk to about this. Do you know that the Catholic Church is granting indulgences again? Indulgences? Yeah, right. I think they're giving some away.
What kind of indulgences?
Oh, like 10 years off your hell time.
Oh.
If you can afford it.
I don't know anything about the Catholic Church. I'm not Catholic, but even though I grew up in an Italian family, when I was in Germany, I worked there, and I didn't know that if you put a religion down, I was young and naive, that when you got a paycheck, there would be a church tax, and it was taken out of money from my paycheck. So I had to go through some bureaucratic stuff to get out of the church, and then someone called me up and told me that not only would I go to hell, but also my children if I did that. So I won't have to wear any. I'll wear Bermuda shorts.
Do they still have that checkbox?
I don't know. I haven't been to Germany for ages and ages since I left there. It was still West Germany when I left there.
Well, I appreciate your call.
All right, and, thank you, Bob.
And I hope you call again.
All right, well, thank you, and thank you, thank everybody for being there. I greatly appreciate Radio Unnameable, and I greatly appreciate WBAI.
Thank you, great. Thank you.
Okay, have a good night.
You too. You're on the radio. Hello?
Hi, this is Cloudy.
Yes?
About the Baader-Meinhof gang. I'm on the air now, right?
Yep.
I'm against that sort of thing, whether it was the Palestinians, you know, killing the Israelis at the Olympics or the Weather Underground or Kaczynski. They're usually killing innocents. In the case of the Baader-Meinhof gang, though, it's noteworthy. The person they captured was Hans Martin Schleyer, who was an industrialist, a key Nazi. He was known as the Butcher of Prague, and that's relative to other Nazis. He was bad. And then he was a central figure in post-war Germany for 30 years after World War II. He was, you know, like McCloy. He was like one of these people who was always perpetually, as an industrialist, part of the sort of pinnacle of the elite. And although strategically I still don't think that they advanced progressive politics, that we should recognize, at least in that case, that it was not immoral violence, like Kaczynski blowing up some secretary, you know, at a university for his mishigas.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, Tom Newman Osha was here.
Yeah,
he,
I heard
he talked about the redemptive power of violence. I think it is perhaps helpful for the violent person to get it off and to feel like they're enacting justice in the world, but it certainly is, it isn't helpful in a sense of raising the consciousness of people.
Well, the Hans Martin Scheer case is very much the exception. But I also wanted to note about the stimulus bill. I don't know if people know about this, but when in the final, they quickly came to a Senate House agreement, and they dropped the $50 billion pot of money being available for nuclear energy and so-called clean coal, which is a complete misnomer. And apparently there was an earmark. You hear with all these about $180,000 earmarks for underwater photography research that the Republicans complain about. This was a $2 billion earmark for FutureGen, some company involved with clean coal in Illinois, and that was also bumped. So I think that now once that passes, I hope we can try to, there are ways for progressives to fight for there to be subsequently a restoration of the $40 billion, half of all of the money that was supposed to go to the state.
I think they should stop messing around and start indicting some of the people in the last administration for things like murder and war crimes.
Yeah, I don't think it'll happen. But, it's like this thing with the bankers in the Senate. You know, it's a show. They'll do things that are... they'll satisfy the masses with a few little gestures. The $500,000 income cap that apparently means very little. But when it comes to the banking policies, apparently they won't even independently audit these banks to have somebody independent of the same crooks that got them into trouble to evaluate what their assets are worth. It was a guy on Democracy Now! Who explained that this is a technical question. It's not even, it's just something you have to have someone honest, an independent auditor, to come in and evaluate all the toxic assets. Nobody wants to, they were talking about honesty just in the banking and transparency. That's what they won't do. They're fighting it at tooth and nail and Geithner. Well,
thank you. Thank you, Cloudy.
All right.
Thank you.
My name, it means nothing, and my age, it means less. For the country I come from is called the Midwest. I was taught and brought up to the laws to abide, and that the land that I live in has God on its side. All the history books tell it, they tell it so well. The cavalry's charge and the Indians fell. The cavalry's charge and the Indians died. Oh, the country was young then, with God on its side. the Spanish America. War had its day, and the Civil War to us was soon laid away, and the names of the heroes I was made to memorize, with guns in their hands and God on their side. The First World War, it came and it went, and the reason for fighting I never did get, but I learned to accept it, accept it with pride. For you don't count the day when God's on your side. In the 1960s came the Vietnam War. Can someone tell me what we were fighting for? So many young men died, so many mothers cried. Now I ask the question, was God on our side? I learned to hate the Russians all through my whole life. If another war comes, it's them we must fight. And to hate them and fear them, to run and to hide, and accept it all bravely, with God on my side. Through many dark hours I've been thinking about this, that Jesus Christ was betrayed by a kiss. But I can't think for you, you have to decide whether Judas Iscariot had God on his side. Oh, now as I'm leaving, I'm weary as hell. The confusion I'm feeling ain't no tongue can tell. The words fill my head and they fall to the floor. That if God's on our side, he'll stop the next war. Jesus loves me, as I know.
Let's start.
Living like a refugee is not easy.
Yeah.
You see, I just
took all the problems, the suffering of the people, and then make a song of it.
You left your country to seek refuge in another man's land. You left your country to seek refuge in another man's land. You will be confronted by strange dialects. You will be fed with unusual diets. You got to sleep in a tarpaulin house, which is so hot. You got to sleep on a tarpaulin mat, which is so cold. Oh, we on time,
living like a refugee.
And now
it's not easy.
It's really not easy.
Living like a refugee.
Oh, we on time,
living like a refugee.
Oh, nah,
it's not easy.
It's really not easy.
Living like a refugee is not easy.
I want to hear my solos. Franco?
Nah?
You don't get your supply?
Computer, don't forget me anymore.
Lord of mercy, computer again. Arayim?
Sir?
You don't get your tarpaulin?
Protection, not consider me.
Lord of mercy. Nature.
Nine.
You don't get your medicine. I said to see again. Career to Camara. Career to Camara again. Hey, career to Camara, no day. Bolon Pasa Ibonam. Mohamed Bangura. Mohamed Bangura again. For the CC again. Francis Boyma. Francis Boyma again. You know the artists who go pass some. What am I saying? You left your country to seek refuge in another man's land. You left your country to seek refuge in another man's land. You will be confronted by strange dialects. You will be fed with unusual diets. You've got to sleep in a tarpaulin house, which is so hot. You got to sleep on a tarpaulin mat, which is so cold. Oh, we on time,
living like a refugee.
Oh, nah,
it's not easy.
It's really not easy.
Living like a refugee. It's not easy.
Oh, we on time,
living like a refugee.
Oh, no,
it's not easy.
We are
living like a refugee. It's not easy.
It's really not easy.
Speaking of difficult things, this is WBAI in New York City, listener-sponsored WBAI, and we are streaming on the World Wide Web at WBAI.org, also heard on KWMD in Kisilov, Alaska, CJLY in Nelson, British Columbia, and WJFF in Jeffersonville, Grahamsville, and Liberty, New York. We do have another telephone call. Perhaps we can push that little button there. Hi, you're on the radio. Hello?
Yes, it's Tom from the Bronx here.
Tom?
Yes.
Hi, Tom.
All right. I have this to say, that in today's newspaper, I don't know whether you'd seen that there's a thought that they want to reduce the work week for a lot of people to 4 days a week. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Well, can WBAI do that too? Maybe you save money that way and you can keep the help on. I mean, it's only a thought. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. You mean not broadcast for 3 days a week?
Well, I don't mean that. I mean to say is the amount of help you have maybe could work 4 days. In other words, not everybody, but I mean to say is if they work like the average worker works like 5 days.
No, but the people here at WBAI all do the work of two people, at least two people. And the others of us,
you're very short, then.
The others of us, well, some of us are tall, but the others of us are who are not paid. I mean, maybe the people who are paid, I don't know, it could be any number of ways of handling this, but what would, you know, the thing that we really should do is get more people to support the station, people who listen to the station should support it.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, how do you meet a budget, you know? I mean, with the terrible budget crunches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have a part of the studio not using, and maybe if there are single individuals there, maybe you could let them live there, too. They could save the rent.
Well, what makes you think people don't live here already?
I don't know, but what I'm getting at, I imagine they don't. But
Do you have some room in your apartment to maybe put a few people in?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'm like a sardine.
But
anyway, it was only a thought. I didn't really know. I was kidding, actually, you know.
Well, keep those thoughts coming and keep kidding.
Yeah, well, anyway. Do you really have some people living there?
From time to time, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I imagine there's a lot of desperation around with the rent so vicious and all.
All right. Tom, is that your name?
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom. Bye now.
I travel around this country from shore to shining shore. It really made me wonder the things I heard and saw. I saw the weary farmer with the garden.
love my Lula Bell. I do, yes, I do. I love my Lula Bell. I do, yes, I do. I love my Lula Bell. I do, yes, I do. But I don't expect to see her anymore. I left her in the door on the cold, icy floor. I left her in the door on the cold, icy floor. I left her in the door on the cold, icy floor. She cried like she never cried before. I will never get to see them red rosy cheeks. I will never get to see them red rosy cheeks. I will never get to see. Oh, darling, won't you come back to me? The sheriff and police, they're riding after me. The sheriff and police, they're riding after me. The sheriff and police, they're riding after me. I'm gone, I'm gone, yes, I'm gone.
99 years, don't come back here no more, no more, no more, no more, no more, my love. Not on the judge, I ain't been here before. If you're 99 years, don't come back here no more, no more, no more, my love.
Where no one ever takes any responsibility. Everything's presented as if it were all preordained. No one can change anything, no need for someone to explain. The politician says the budget was unable to be balanced. Justice failed to be observed, mass weapons were undetected. The environment was unconcerned, the votes were not respected. The people failed to notice when their privates were inspected. Well, I just wanna say the opinions in this or any song don't necessarily represent my poster sponsors. So if you have a problem with this or any other song, I just wanna say so you don't get it wrong, I'm singing this one on my own. Imagine if you apply this principle to your own life. Think of all the things you could say are out of your control. The material has not been learned, the exam failed to be studied for. Sleep was not disturbed, my job was not attended. The television's full of people killing each other randomly. The cinemas are glowing with psychos, vampires and the walking dead. The army's building robots so it can invade just anyone. The well-trained assassin says it's just a job that must be done. Well, I just wanna say the opinions in this or any song don't necessarily represent my fellow musicians. So if you have a problem with this or any other song, I just wanna say so you don't get it wrong, I'm singing this one on my own. Wonderful to be a leader, the people were not educated. To have the power to do so much, peace was not pursued. To fix the problems of our time, poverty was unaffected. Pass the prophets all around, no crimes were ever proven. What if you make it personal? Say my addiction was predestined. My career failed to happen, my life was never lived. Wouldn't it be great if we could all simply be restarted? So everything.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI.
Problem with this or any other song, I just want to say so you don't get it wrong, I'm singing this one on my own.
said you're young, I guess you don't understand. We gotta have these things in case it gets out of hand. I say, what if they are like you, always got to be on top. Isn't there somewhere to end it? Isn't there some place to stop? What if everyone thought like you, the general said to me? Oh, what a vulnerable country we would be. What if everyone thought like you, the general said to me? I said there would be some peace. Said you're young, I guess you don't comprehend. These people all walking around, gotta have some money to spend. And how can there be any money if we don't sell the things we can build? I say, why don't you build something else to use without having to kill? What if everyone thought like you, the broker said to me? Oh, what a poor this would be. What if everyone thought like you, the broker said to me? I say there would be some peace. There just might be some peace. Stop the war, stop the war, stop the war within yourself. And you won't need to fight with someone. Stop the war, stop the war within yourself. And you won't need to fight with someone else. Oh no, you won't need to fight. Yeah, you won't need to fight with someone else. Yeah, you won't need to fight with someone else. Oh no, you won't need to fight with someone else.
Last night I dreamed of my old home, my sister and I, where we were young. The yellow sun shone through flowering trees. We rode the old familiar streets. The faces of old friends were near, the smiles of children bright and clear. My mother sang our favorite songs. My father worked his patch of ground. When I awoke, I was far away, in a land where only yesterday, after 40 years of tyranny, the foreign armies had to leave. And as I walked the streets of town with my new friends who call it home, in the air so newly free, this is what they said to me. I would not love my country more for victories in foreign wars. I did not love my country less when it was occupied and oppressed. Not for some politician's speech, but for the people strong and free. The land so green, the sky above, these are the country that I love. Takes a man far away from his own land, and yet his dreams will take him home, back to the land where he was born, to walk the old familiar roads and see the faces young and old. The land so green, the sky above, these are the country that I love. The land so green, the sky above, these are the country that I love.
Rhythm of the rain.
Where does it all come from? Seems like yesterday the water was golden dry. Fires were burning out on the edge of town. Even this won't be enough to get us by. And the world looks very dark today, she says. Might as well go back to bed again. Make some coffee, read the papers, shut the TV off. Make love to the rhythm of the rain. Make love to the rhythm. Weatherman says it will pass us by this time. The big storm's gonna miss us, we'll survive. Someone else on up the coast will have to dig out from the damage. Someone else will be on TV saying, thank God we're alive. Days of rain, when cities in very short supply. Lifeless traffic signal swinging in the wind. No one driving, the water's still too high. And the world looks very dark today, she says. Might as well go back to bed again. Light some candles, make some music, nothing much to do. Make love to the rhythm of the rain. Make love to the rhythm of the rain.
can't see what you wanna see. You say we gotta go kill them there, or they're gonna come and kill us here. Well, I don't have to buy it, and if I were you, I would get wise. But since you've already made your mind, I hope you make it back alive. Picture two Americans in the land of the free. Disagree, it's just you and me.
Open my mic. Ah, well. Oh, my mic was open.
Yes, no, just now.
Just now.
Just now.
Oh, well.
Like mine, just now.
Oh.
Oh, I thought you were on the right. Let's open them all.
Well, all right. Okay. I have a bunch of people who have contributed, and one of them doesn't want their name mentioned, but we have two wonderful volunteers. We're sitting in answer three now. We have Russ Michael, and we have Reggie and Dennis, who just went back there to sit with them. Now, they haven't really been very busy for the last few hours. They've been, I don't mean to say that they're somnolent, but they're kind of, you know, relaxed, what can I say? And, they took these names down. They took a name. This is someone named Terry, who we don't know whether she wants her name or full name mentioned. Someone who does not want her name mentioned. Someone who does, Sophia Young Powers in Brooklyn. Thank you. And thank you to David Ferrando. Thank you very much. We could use a few more people calling and pledging, but let's see if we can find out whether there are people who are like supportive of what we're doing, even though they have either pledged or they can't afford to pledge. Let's see if we can just make all of the telephones in the tally room ring. Now, people in the tally room, the phones might start ringing soon, but don't answer the telephones. We just want to see whether we can get 10 people to call and just, you know, give us a little burst of energy. Okay? 209-2950. 212-209-2950. Is there one person who can call and start this off? Well, it's not going to cost you anything, you know.
Well, Tally, I hope you can hear us some.
Yes, I just went back there, and okay. I spoke to Reggie, and Reggie said they will not answer the telephone.
Great.
So you can call, and the phone will ring, and we'll put the ring on the air. Oh, look at that. Yeah. Look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Can we get more than 12? No, I think that fills the switchboard. There are 12 people out there who are calling. Is there a microphone back there so that people can hear those rings some way? But you just have to take my word for it. There's a little device in the control room where there's a light that lights up for every telephone that rings. And I'm telling you, it is lit up like the skyline. It's lit up like, as they used to say,
a Christmas tree, right? It's wonderful that there are people who want to support us. Thank you very much. Now, I have to make a suggestion to you. Those of you who have actually gone to the telephone and have gone through the process of calling 212-209-2950. I mean, you've done all of the work. If I'll give you, like, to a count of 10 to hang up, and if you're still on the line after a count of 10, well, we're going to ask you to contribute. We'll pick up the phone, and we'll ask you for your name and your address, and we'll count you among the chosen. 212-209-2950, and there are all of those phones being rung at this moment.
So just keep on ringing them.
Keep on ringing them, and I'm going to start counting. I'll count backwards from 10, and you can hang up at any time. If you're listening and you want to get in on this, you can call 212-209-2950. If you called now, you might get a busy signal. That would be wonderful. That hasn't happened at 2:45 in the morning in a while, but we're going to count down now. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. No, no, no. 5, 4,
3 and a half.
3, 2, someone hung up. Somebody else called in. 2, 1.
Okay, you really want to play?
Okay.
Yeah.
People in the tally room, pick those phones up. These are people who really do want to help us, not just raise our spirits, but raise some money for us. 212-209-2950. Pick those phones up now. Tally, pick them up. Pick them up before they hang up. Tally, pick them up.
Hey, I better run in there.
Better run in and tell them. 212-209-2950. Yes. Someone has picked them up. Someone is pledging their support. Thank you very, very much. And you might regret it, but I don't think you will. 212-209-2950. WBAI is a listener-supported station. And if you are listening and you're not a supporter, well, you know, why are you listening? You're listening probably because you need the station, or you want to listen to it, or maybe you're a sadist. Maybe you want to hear us struggling to get you to support the station. But, you know, maybe not. Maybe you really want to help us. 212-209-2950. Let's go back to Rod McDonald.
Crashed.
When you decide to return again to the land that raised you, you find yourself traveling back to your New England home. And you're passing through, you run into somebody I used to know. Tell her I've been thinking about in the coming of the snow. And if you're standing on the pier by the empty harbor, and the fishing boats are lying quiet till the spring, and you need a fire to to sit beside while the winter weaves out its clothes. Tell her I've been thinking about in the coming of the snow. And if you awaken with her long hair spread across your shoulder, and the day outside is as dark as her eyes, take care to hold her close into the morning, and she will be true to you if you love her more than I. And if you're traveling in the woods, I used to walk along, and you find her out there standing in the falling. And a chill should pass through the arms that cradle her longing. You know that you can take her hand one more time for me. When you decide to return again to the land that raised you, you find yourself traveling back to your New England home. And you're passing through, you run into somebody I used to know. Tell her I've been thinking about her in the coming of the snow. Tell her I've been thinking about her in the coming of the snow. Ballerina, she could dance from her head to her toes. She came to me and said I could love you long. Sometimes we whispered each other's name out low. She said I could never be tired to being anybody's fool, and we would linger in each other's arms in the evening when the nights got cool. She turned from me to another man who said devoted she must be, and the price he paid for her accepting that was to follow every order she would speak. Soon he was dancing to her every line, sampled every song and every taste. He would tell her how she danced so well, but he would do the dancing. Ballerina, why don't you dance with me? Ballerina, darling, can't you see? The moon and the stars are moving over to make room for you to shine. You were so beautiful when you were all alive. I wished her well and they went off to marry. They moved to some pleasant town. I hear he's making a living doing tax accounts. She dances when the weekends come around. I saw the ballerina in a dream last night, a butterfly who folded up her wings, crying for the beauty she'd left behind. She was crying for so many things. The ballerina, why don't you dance with me? Ballerina, darling, can't you see? The moon and the stars are moving over to make room for you to shine. You were so beautiful when you were all alive. Everybody said she seemed to fly. And when the music stopped, she reached for somebody who'd keep on telling her those lies. The ballerina's come and dances go. I think about her every now and then. And I will dance again with you, I know. But I don't need no ballerina. Ballerina, why don't you dance with me? Ballerina, darling, can't you see? The moon and the stars are moving over to make room for you to shine. You were so beautiful when you were all alive. Ballerina, why don't you dance with me?
Well, thank you very much. We got a nice little flurry of calls there. That was Rod McDonald singing, by the way. And if you want to hear Rod McDonald singing in person, he's going to be at the People's Voice Cafe on this Saturday. And Sunday, he'll be in Piermont, New York, at the Turning Point. So you can see him in an urban environment, or you can see him in the beautiful countryside. But we want to thank some people. We want to thank some people and one dog. We want to thank Dante Picora. Dante is
a smart dog too.
Yeah, a subscriber to WBAI now. Thank you. Thank you very much, Dante. He has a subscription at the $10 non-voting level. Now, I don't know whether we would stop a dog from voting. Arf, arf, Dante. Thank you very much. Claudia Young. Thank you. Thank you very much. And Just David. Thank you. And yes, Glenn Siwa. Thank you very much. Glenn is in Brooklyn. And we're here at WBAI in New York and at KWMD in Kisilov, Alaska, and CJLY in Nilsen, British Columbia, and WJFF in Grahamsville, New York, and Liberty, New York, and Jeffersonville, New York. and can be heard as far away as Honesdale, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Or as near as the Bronx. We're WBAI, we're a listener-sponsored station, and we need your support. Thank you very much if you're giving it, and if you're not, well, it's about time you did. You're on the radio.
Hi, Bob. Good morning.
Good morning.
And is that Bill over there?
Yeah. Hi, Fred.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Dante would have pledged more, but he advised me that he was still too young to vote. He's only two, so that makes him 14, so next year.
Yes, but two in dog's years. Yeah,
that's right, it's like 14.
Well, that's very nice of you, Fred. That's very nice.
Well,
Dante is a very smart dog.
He is a smart dog, and maybe I can coax a word out of him in a minute.
Oh, very good.
Bribe him if you have to.
I always have. Sometimes he needs bribing, sometimes not.
He tried to bribe you, you told me.
Dante, you want to talk to Bob?
Hi, Dante. Dante? Dante? Say, Dante?
Or, ow.
He's looking at the phone like that RCA Victor.
His master's voice.
Great show. It was great to hear Rod. I neglected to give him a call. I was hope. Is he going to be on the on your program by any chance? Is he staying?
Well, I'm sure he will soon. But he's going to be at the People's Voice Cafe Friday, and.
And the other place you said the Turning Point?
Yeah, the Turning Point. People's Voice Cafe on Saturday, and the Turning Point show is on Sunday. The People's Voice Cafe is now moved to the Community Church of New York, the Unitarian Universalist Church.
Oh, 35th Street?
40 East 35th Street, yeah. Between Madison and Park. It's wheelchair accessible.
And that's this Saturday?
That is Saturday. And on Sunday, the Turning Point in Piermont, New York.
Right, I know that place. It's a small place, but it's a really nice venue.
Great, great, great place.
And how does one get there?
To travel.
Take the Palisades Parkway, I believe.
Right.
It's just...
right.
A mile or two off the parkway.
Piermont is like on the Hudson.
Right, right.
And it's a very lucky city. It was used as the set for a Woody Allen movie. And in return for that, he like rebuilt the town and turned it into a kind of, an upstate art town with in clubs where music is played and craft shops and
we can interest him maybe in using BAI as a movie set.
For what?
No, that would be great. A lot of cities and towns suffer because of the Olympics, but it's good to know that shooting a film improves a town. Bob, at the top of the show, you had mentioned something about genetics, and I don't know if it was actually genetics, but it reminded me of something. Apparently, there was a fellow, a Mr. Spivak, last year, who has a brother who's in regenerative medicine, and he was a model airplane builder, and he stuck his finger in the propeller of a model airplane while it was running, and it cut off the end of his finger. And they said about a half inch, three quarters of an inch, but the whole tip of the finger was missing. And he was given a powder by his brother, who works at the University of Pittsburgh, And what it is, it's called an extracellular matrix. And his brother had told him, gave him enough powder to change the dressing and just powder the end of the finger and change the dressing. And sure enough, the end of his finger grew back. The military is actually looking at this, no surprise, with fingers and hands missing.
They can take a powder.
They can take a powder. Very good, Bill. You're always... But I guess it's probably Fort Bliss, Texas, the medical hospital there. They're really looking to go grow fingers back on hands, so much for that. As far as that satellite goes, I don't know if anyone caught this. There's a fellow looking for funding. He's looking for $15 billion to mine water on the... dark side of the moon. Have you folks heard about that?
No.
I just read that they thought they found a little bit of water on the dark side of the moon in some photos.
Well, they say that at a crater at the bottom of the moon under the dust that there's actually supposed to be quite a bit of water. And of course the advantage is, you know, very little gravity, but he has a whole plan where he's already recruited of all people, because they have to work in the dark, and it's 200 below zero. And what they intend on doing is refueling the space station, and also, you know, just fresh water to drink, because it's allegedly pretty pure. But what they expect to do in the future is to have small spacecraft, like those little... ATVs and snowmobiles and that, you know, little small ships to go around and repair satellites. So I was wondering, as far as these satellites colliding, if they could do something like a fine fishnet and have two or three of these little space buggies swoop up all this debris, because there is a potential of knocking out a lot of these satellites with this debris that's floating around when it comes down into lower orbit.
Mm.
So just a heads up on that. I don't know the guy's name, but...
Most of these satellites are used for communication.
Communication, GPS, and military surveillance is a lot of them. Mm. But, actually, maybe they should just let them disintegrate. A bit of good news is WJFF has gone digital. We went high def digital back in the first part of December, and hopefully, you know, we pick you up at 1:30. So hopefully, with the additional channels in the future, maybe we can carry the entire show.
Oh, that'd be great.
So I just wanted to let you know that. Keep hope alive.
Is that HD radio you're talking about, Fred?
Yes, yeah.
The funny thing is,
I haven't been able to find an HD radio.
Right.
So we're that far ahead of the game.
Have you been able to detect any difference in the transmission?
Yes, I think so. I think it's a little crisper. It does seem, the highs seem to be really, really sharp, even over the analog signal.
Yeah, I heard a demonstration some time ago on my computer. And it says it's supposed to make AM sound like FM, and FM sound like CD, and CD sound like you're there.
Well, there was a noticeable improvement. You can't tell on voice, but classic with strings or high notes on guitar, they really do seem.
Dante could tell.
Dante,
that's right.
Right.
It's funny. He recognizes your voice. He's a regular listener.
A discerning listener.
He never calls, though.
He tries to call, but he just misses all the keys. And he stopped driving also, by the way. He hit a pothole, and he was really... he thought he did a bad thing, and he just doesn't want to drive anymore.
Did he have a license? Never mind.
No, of course, no. He couldn't pass the test.
Well, we had a cat here who had an FCC license.
Cat
with a real
license.
FCC license, yeah.
But not a driver's
license.
Not a driver's
license.
He was a terrible driver.
Yeah.
The baby driver.
I pledged last week. It wasn't a large pledge, but I pledge often. But the difference is, I pledge and sometimes I send in a premium. So I sent in some DVDs, and I'll send in another round for next week, and maybe you'll get them by then.
Okay,
but
I got the ones you sent, but they were wrecked. It looked like a car had driven over the envelope, and they were all cracked.
Oh, it sounds like a New York State gas driller conspiracy.
Maybe. Anyway.
Maybe one of their drilling rigs ran over them. They had to do with the natural gas drilling. Actually, what I can do is just give you a very, very quick, short 10 seconds to give you
An update.
A promo for people who may be interested in pledging next week for the DVD. We'll get you a fresh set out in the mail.
One question is, what do you intend to do with tens of billions of gallons of radioactive water? That's the first question.
Well, first off, I guess as a geologist, I'm not aware of a technique that relies simply on radioactivity.
I think that says it all.
Well,
there was a driller, a geologist, an engineer, and an attorney. And the three of them were just shocked and just looking at each other, stunned. And no one wanted to take the microphone. No one wanted to answer the question. And finally, that was the engineer that took the wireless mic and, you heard him stutter and stammer, and
you ought to fill in a little bit, Fred.
Oh,
there is projected extraction of the gas that lies in the Marcellus layer stratus of
right, the Marcellus shale deposit.
Right,
it goes from like Tennessee to Lake Erie,
and it's full of natural gas. Except it isn't that easy to get it out. To get it out, you have to do what's called fracking, which is the pumping under high pressure of steam, hot water, containing various chemicals that break up the shale.
It
and
fractionates
then,
it off. In
right.
Distillation.
Right. And then the gas is pumped to the surface and stored in tanks and put into a pipeline, they say. However, the water that's used is taken from a source of potable water. So millions of gallons are lost to drinking water and bathing water used in this process, and they cannot be reclaimed because when they're done, the water is full of like 250 different toxic chemicals.
Right,
and
carcinogenic, cancer-causing chemicals.
And radioactivity.
Right, the radioactivity we found out through a geology report, which is what these folks disputed when they attempted to answer the question. This is from a geologist who got this to me, who works at the Smithsonian. He's in his 70s. He's been a geologist all his life, and he's very, very knowledgeable. What they may look for, my question to them that preceded that short clip, that very short clip, was when you look for gas deposits, what you may look for is a high radioactivity content. And the reason is, in the Marcellus Shale, the darkest color shale is where the most gas is, and that's the highest organic content in the shale. But it's also where you find uranium. So what happens is, when they pump this liquid in, mixed with chemicals, it dislodges the particles of rock which contain uranium, which then comes up in the water. So the water is then radioactive. And I think we just mentioned this part of this once before. So naturally, the question to them was, how do you intend on disposing of, actually it's hundreds, I said tens of billions, but it's hundreds of billions of gallons of radioactive water. And of course, there is no way to dispose of it. So they disputed the evidence. The geologist just played stupid. But that's what they do.
They had intended to return the water to groundwater, where it would go into the aquifer that supplies New York City.
So some of it they claim.
If you turn on your tap and fill a glass and it glows in the dark, it's.
Easy to find your water.
It's the oil and gas industry in New York that you can thank for that.
Now, this is really terrible. Well, Councilman Gennaro from James Gennaro from Queens really portrayed this accurately. What he said was, "This is the biggest problem in the history of New York State," and it really is. I don't want to take too long on this, but I just want folks to know that there are several websites that you can check for this. There's one group that I wasn't really aware of how much work they have done, and now what a strong stand that they've taken. It's DamascusCitizens.org. The other website is WaterUnderAttack.com. But just a very short comment by Damascus Citizens. We will take any action required in any court, federal or state, with our regional and national partners, and we will bring to bear the research and the experts and the evidentiary material that we are now accumulating. And it just goes on that we will be in the streets, and they mentioned civil disobedience, but we're not going to let this happen. And anyone who wants to, there's a petition online, No Drill. It's just petition online. It's No Drill. There are about 600 people that have signed up so far, and if we could have 6,000, it would really be helpful.
Fred,
yes?
Could you possibly, or have you put a link maybe from WJFF? That way people, if they can't remember the other ones or can't write it down in time, they can find it from just by going to WJFF, all those things you mentioned.
No, I'll check with the station and see if they will do that. You know, I don't know if they'll take a position on it. Hopefully they should. By the way, that was great. That first John McDonald song that you played was that can actually be used as a disclaimer.
Oh, Rod McDonald.
Rod McDonald.
Yeah. He's very current on his song.
That these views are not necessarily those of my of whatever the management or my friends.
Right.
And
he's titled it "Opening Disclaimer."
Opening Disclaimer. Correct. Yeah. He when he performed this summer at Forestburg Theater, he opened up with that.
Well, I thank you, Fred.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for the contributions. And I thank Dante. You sure you can't get Dante to say something?
Actually, he ate and he's sleeping. Dante, can you say a few words? His eyes are half open. He'll call earlier next time.
Okay. All right,
thanks,
Fred.
Bob. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
It seems like only yesterday I held you in my arms this way and told you that I love you. Was that so wrong? Not just 1 year has come and gone. I must admit the war's been won, and I've lost you in the fires of my love song. Yes, it seems like just a dream ago Our children played on fields of snow. The rain would bring the flowers of May. And I told you that I love your ways. And now the clouds, they block the sun. In just 1 year the war's been won. And I've lost you in the fires of my love song. They were so cold in here. I'm growing old, my dear. But I'll see you in my dreams. And I'll hold you in esteem. They were so bold in here. Yes, it seems like only yesterday I held you in my arms this way and told you that I love you. Was that so wrong? Now just 1 year has come and gone. I must admit the war's been won. And I've lost you in the fires of my love song.
Thank you very much. Two more subscribers. Thank you very much. Joseph Hederman. Thank you very much. And Petra Hanslick. Petra Hanslick is in Toronto, Canada. Thank you very much. That's wonderful. Toronto. Give our regards to the Lone Ranger.
New York City rain. I don't know if it's making me dirtier or clean. Went for the subway, but there was no train. And the tunnel was crumbling for repairs again. And the sign said, welcome to America, Jerusalem. Well, I've been around. You could spend forever looking for a friend in this town. And all you get to do is lay your dollar down. Till you're stumbling drunk up the stairs again. And the sign says, welcome to America, Jerusalem. In the temples of American Jerusalem, they buy an ounce of South African gold. They don't care who was bought or sold, or who died to mine it. In the temples of American Jerusalem, they buy an ounce of my saved wife. Somewhere on a street with no light, somebody dies trying it. And somewhere in a crowd, looking the kind of way that makes you turn around, will be somebody who knows what it's about. She's gonna take the ribbons from her hair again and welcome you to American
Jerusalem.
Accept their service to stand up and fight for us all. We send them off to do our bidding. And if I were a fly on the wall, I'd hate to see even one soldier die for nothing at all. I had a friend who was a soldier. We sat out on my front lawn. He said, I don't know why I'm going. For what it is to be done, I mean, isn't it their country? Who are we to be butting in? He went off to the jungle, and I never did see him again. Some people aren't born to be soldiers, they end up soldiers anyway. Me, I was never a soldier, and I don't regret it today. Some people are born to be spectators. They stand on the sidelines and cheer. They're never the ones who are going, but they support it year after year. They invest in the oil and the weapons, make deals in the fine marble halls. And when the soldiers come home broken,
they give him back nothing at all. Some people say, how about a little something to support the men and women over there? Some public statement, it's the right thing. Some patriotic words of prayer. But why are they only called heroes when their names end up on a wall? I pray those born to be heroes don't die over nothing at all. Some people are born to survive it, to watch their brothers in arms fall. Me, I was never a soldier, and I don't regret it at all. To be soldiers, civilians, tell them what to do, where to go and who to kill, and especially who to answer to. They fight the good fights and the bad fights, so we can all think we're standing tall. 'Cause we hate to see even one soldier die for nothing at all.
Dream. Well, you are my sunshine.